planning and with what has been and with what will be. And since troubleshooting is its function, we then get the general feeling that man is born to trouble. And we ignore in this preoccupation with conscious attention how marvelously we get on. How, for most of the time, our physical organs are in a fantastically harmonious relationship. How our body relates by all sorts of unconscious responses to the physical environment. So that if you became aware of all the adjustment processes that are being managed spontaneously and subconsciously by your organism, you would find yourself in the middle of great music. And of course, this occasionally happens. Well, the mystical experience is nothing other than becoming aware of your true physical relationship to the universe. And you're amazed, thunderstruck, by the feeling that underneath everything that goes on in this world, the fundamental thing is a state of unbelievable bliss. Well, why not? Why else would there be anything happening? Because if the game isn't worth the candle, if the universe is basically nothing but a tormented struggle, why have one? Hasn't it ever struck you that it would be much simpler not to have any existence? It would require no effort. There would be no problems. So why is there anything going on? Let me say, not why, but how is there anything going on? Because if it's all fundamentally a drag, I just don't see any reason for its being. Everything would have committed suicide long ago. And to be at rest. Abu Ben Adhem, may his tribe decrease by cautious birth control and be at peace. So, we might work on this possibility, then, that civilization is a mistake, and that we've taken completely the wrong track and should have left things to nature, as it were. And of course, this is the same problem that is brought up in the book of Genesis. Actually, the fall of man in Genesis is his venture into technology. Because in the Bible, the Hebrew words for the knowledge of good and evil are connected with technics. What is technically expeditious and what is not? Words connected with actually metallurgy. And to be as God, you see, when you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and you become as God, means you think you're going to control your own life. And God says, okay, baby, you wanted to be God, you try it. But you, the trouble with you is you've got a one-track mind. And therefore you can't be God. To be God, you have to have an infinitely many-tracked mind, which is, of course, what your brain has, you see. The brain is infinitely many-tracked, but consciousness is not. It's one-tracked. As we say, you can only think of one thing at a time. And you cannot take charge of the universe with that kind of a consciousness, because there's too much of it. As I explained before, too many variables. And our science can take care of a few variables, or of an enormous number of variables, as in quantum mechanics, by statistical methods. As we can use statistical methods to predict that most people will live to be 65 years old, at least. But we cannot say of any given individual whether he will live to 65 or not. That's what we wanted to know. But the problem is that the variables on each individual are too complicated. And we have not yet, you see, developed a science which can deal with, say, 50, 100, or 500 variable systems. It's too complicated to think about. The computers are going to help us. But as yet, we're either on the low number or the extremely high number. And these are outside the range of the problems with which we are really concerned. That's why, for example, a lot of people have taken to using the I Ching, the Book of Changes. Because if you're tossing a coin to make your decisions, and everybody does fundamentally make their decision by tossing coins, it's better to have a 64-sided coin than a two-sided coin. The I Ching gives you 64 possibilities of approach to any given decision instead of just two, yes or no. It's based on yes or no, because it's based on the yang and the yin. But in the same way that computers, digital computers, use a number system which consists only of the figures 0 and 1, out of which you can construct any number. And this was invented by Leibniz, who got it from the Book of Changes. It's amazing how this book is somehow always with us. But this, then, is a way of helping your own multivariable brain arrive at decisions, cooperating with your own mind. Because then again, after you've tossed your 64-sided coin, the oracle that you read that explains each particular hexagram in the Book of Changes is a sort of Rorschach blot. It is a very laconic remarks into which everybody reads just exactly what they want to read. But that helps you make a decision by the fact that you don't really have to accept responsibility for it. See, then you can say, it told me. I consulted the oracle. Same way when you go to a guru. You say, my guru is very wise and he has instructed me to do this, this, that, and the other. But it was you who decided on this guru. How did you know he was a good one? See, you gave him his authority because you picked him out. It always comes back to you. But we like to pretend it doesn't. But the thing is that oneself is certainly not the stream of consciousness. Oneself is everything that goes on underneath that, and of which the stream of consciousness is a mere it has about the same relation to oneself as the bookkeeping does to a business. And if you're selling grocery, there's very little resemblance between your books and what you move over your shelves and counters. There's just a record of it. And that's what our consciousness keeps. Now, supposing then we work with the argument that we've made an awful mistake in bringing out civilization. And we're not going to survive. Now, there are various things that can be said about this. Just as I made the joke that all stars used to be planets. One could say, well, is it such a good thing to survive? You know T.S. Eliot's Wasteland, where it says, this is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. But some people would rather end with a bang than a whimper. Some people are stingy, and they like to burn up their fire very gradually, conserving the fuel, and just keep enough heat going so that they get a long time. Other people prefer a kind of a potlatch situation, where they have a huge whiz-bang fire that goes out in a hurry. Now, who is right? Do you want to be a tortoise? You know, a tortoise that lives for hundreds of years, but drags itself around all the time, very slow, 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 solemn. Or would you rather be hummingbird? Yeah, hummingbird, that's the thing. See, that dances and lives at a terrific pace. Well, you can't say one is right and the other's wrong. And so there may be nothing wrong with the idea of a world, a civilization, a culture that lives at a terrific increasing pace of change and then explodes. That may be perfectly okay. My point is that if we could reconcile ourselves to the notion that that is perfectly okay, then we would be less inclined to push that button. It's the anxiety. If you cannot stand anxiety, and if you cannot simply be content for issues to be undecided, you are liable to push the button because you say, let's get it over with. People who have trouble with the law and are manipulating the courts in one way or another always learn to delay everything, put it off, introduce legal red tape, manage to, like Ralph Ginsberg, who's been in trouble because of the Eros magazine. He's got a very smart attorney who simply, although the case has gone to the Supreme Court, he's simply mumbling away and putting up all sorts of things so that he keeps Ralph out of jail. And that's life. Life is simply a way of postponing death. And that's what we have to do. So then, let's say, well, civilization wasn't really a mistake. It was just as natural as anything else. A being that exists under conditions of illusion, that imagines that it's controlling its own destiny, that thinks it's capable of improving itself, and by virtue of this illusion, destroys itself rapidly in an interesting way. You see? Let's suppose that's what we are. But you still come back to the point that you are spending an enormous amount of energy in doing things that can't be done. That is to say, tugging at the bootstraps. And if you find this frustrating, if you really don't like it, you don't have to do it. You can stop. And the paradox is that when you stop, you become happier and more energetic. People always wondered about the Calvinists, because Calvinists believed that from the beginning of time, God had foreordained who was to be saved and who was to be damned. And you have no choice. Predestination. Therefore, the logical assumption would be that people who believed in predestination would be laissez-faire. They're just sit and wait. There's nothing we can do about it. But Calvinists were quite other than that. They were very energetic people, too energetic. Very, very vigorously moral. They gave us the Protestant ethic. But they believed in predestination. Because, you see, they simply had all the psychic energy which Catholics were dissipating upon wondering whether they were saved or not. See? And being in a state of fear and trembling about, have I made the right decision? Did I act rightly? And so on. So they didn't have as much energy as the Calvinists. So then in this day and age, we say, in the line of thought of psychiatry or of most schools of psychotherapy, it's important for you to accept yourself rather than to be in conflict. Get with yourself. But everybody says, but, because nobody dares take that too far. There's always a little bit of reservation on the end of it. It's like, I've never heard a preacher to this day give a sermon on the passage in the Sermon on the Mount, which begins, be not anxious for the morrow.
Morning. A talk by the late Alan Watts. Veil of Thoughts, a seminar from the late 60s to talk about money, relationships, and desire. This is Diane. I'm the partner of the late Roy of Hollywood, Roy Tuckman, who brought Alan Watts to you on a weekly basis, twice a week, on Thursday evenings, midnight, and on Sunday mornings. It's good to be back bringing you Alan Watts. Roy felt that he was an important voice, and you showed agreement with your generous support. And we are again in a fund drive period, so we are asking you, our listeners, our listener sponsors, because you're our sponsors rather than corporations and businesses where there's always strings attached. And the beauty is that you're a recipient of your own generosity. Keep us on the air, and then you enjoy and learn from the wonderful programs. I've gotten a lot of comments over the decades. Many of you came to the station because you heard Alan Watts. And people say things like, Alan Watts changed my life. I can't believe these talks are decades old. They're so relevant today. And he's so far ahead of his time in challenging the conventional wisdom of established religion. We're so grateful to have these recordings because before KPFK opened the doors, his talks were not recorded. Amazing. And KPFK opened the doors and wanted Alan Watts on our air, requested that our sibling station, KPFA in Berkeley, to please record it and send the reel-to-reel tapes to us. And so they have been preserved through the Pacifica archives. So we come to you saying, if you enjoy, if you learn from, if you want to sponsor the Alan Watts time, the station gets the money, they pay the bills, but you just, when you call or when you go online, just say it's for Alan Watts. And it's not that we get the money. Buzz and I are volunteers, and we are happily volunteers. But the station needs the money to pay the bills. So we have a few ways that you can do this. One would be to call. And that number is 818-985-5735, option 2. And be sure to tell them you're subscribing for Alan Watts. Then there is a online, kpfk.org, go to donate. And then you'll see that there are gifts there, so you're welcome to those. I'm going to talk about one in just a minute that we're offering that you can have by either calling or going online. And I want to remind you about our Sustainer Circle. It's a monthly contribution. It's automatically taken out of your credit card. And you just let them know you want to become a monthly subscriber. And you can stop and start the donation at any time. And you can also make one-time donations. Our lowest subscription rate is $25 a year. And that's not too bad for most of you. So if you can see your way clear, if that's the minimum you can do, that's fine. If we have a lot of people doing $25, we're good. $50 is for what they say, a regular subscription, working people. And that's a yearly subscription. So many of you give that every month, and we thank you for that. You can be billed, you can use credit card. And of course, we always ask for those of you who are in a position to make a larger contribution of $1,000. Please, we would welcome that, and it would really help us in this time. We have a special gift, and it is called the Alan Watts Library Edition MP3 disc. It's 28 hours, and you can have it for your very own for $150 contribution, and you can call it in, or you can go online, and it should be there for you. But I want to let you know that this is really quite an extraordinary gift, because it used to be, I believe it used to be $1,000, and it was all on discs. And now with the compressed discs, we ask you to make this $150 contribution and get this as a gift for your very own. Very special gift. It's a master collection, and it includes the Way Beyond the West series, the Philosophy East and West series, and some special tributes. So we have Way Beyond the West, which was his earliest, 1959 work. And then we have the Philosophy East and West, which then went into the 60s. And then at the near the end, Roy put on a special, and it was the a memorial tribute to Alan Watts done by Rabbi Herschel Lyman. That was in 1974. And so I think, let's see, Mysticisms and Morals is on there. There's an Esalen Weekend on there. The Tea Ceremony, which is excellent. And we have the tribute to C.G. Jung, for those of you who like psychology. And I'm trying to see what else, but it pretty much has really a lot of his really famous works. I think you'll really enjoy it. $150 contribution, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK, option 2, and let them know it's for Alan Watts. Ask for the gift and just say you want the Alan Watts Library Edition. And, you know, Roy wanted you to be the happiest, healthiest, and best informed people on the earth. And I think Alan Watts is a contributor to that. Don't you agree? We're very thankful for your many decades of generous support that you've given us over the years. And we're asking you again to come through for us and help us pay the bills. 818-985-5735, option 2, ask for the gift if you'd like it for $150 contribution, or go online at kpfk.org. And you go to donations, and everything is there. There's a lot of gifts you can peruse. feel free to take a gift. Many of you say, no, that's all right. The program is a gift. You can make one-time donation, or we're encouraging you to come in at the monthly. The monthly amount, you can come in any amount, I think starting at 25, 50, 100, whatever you can see your way clear to give monthly. You can stop and start at any time. You can change the amounts at any time. You have full control over your contribution, depending on how happy you are with us or not so happy with us. But we have this sustainer circle. Many of you are part of that. We thank you so, so much. And we want to keep Alan Watts going. We want to keep KPFK going. We had a close call with the fires recently. The fire was coming up the mountain right at Mount Wilson, and the hand crews and the water dropping helicopters saved the communication towers, not just ours, but there are a lot of them up there on Mount Wilson. This isn't the first time that's happened, but someone wants us to stay around despite all odds. And we thank all of you who've given in the past, and we encourage you to continue giving, because it does cost money to keep the station going. And I think you would agree with me that free speech radio is very important these days. So we're looking forward to taking your contributions, and we'll let you know how we did. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. KPFK.org. And go to donate. If you call, you do have to go to option 2 to get an operator and let them know that your contribution is for Alan Watts. $150 contribution. Get this wonderful gift. I think it's the first time we're offering it since Roy died. He liked to offer it because it was such a good price for so many hours. And it used to be so expensive, it was almost prohibitive, which he didn't like. And so this way it made it more affordable. And so we'll let you go at that. Thank you so much for calling. This is KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, listener-sponsored radio, and worldwide streaming on kpfk.org. You've been listening to The Late Alan Watts. Please visit alanwatts.org. That's ALANWATTS for more information. The music is Panorama Mix by Clur, KLUR.
What is the real world? Some people have the theory that the real world is material or physical. They say it's made of kind of a stuff. Other people have the theory that the real world is spiritual or mental. But I want you to point out that both those theories of the world are concepts. They are constructions of words. And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is... You'll find, therefore, that if you get with reality, all sorts of illusions disappear.
You're listening to KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, listener-sponsored radio, also streaming worldwide at kpfk.org.
Thank you.